Let us pray. These are your words, O God. Humble us to speak their weight. Strengthen us to hear the truth. Unbind us to live their call. Through the power of your Spirit, for the sake of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. The Old Testament reading this morning is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verses 4 through 7. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, who has given us many gifts, one is this community. We ask that you would help us to seek the welfare of our neighbors in this community, find ways to lift one another up so that we find that in our prospering, all of us prosper. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. They found themselves behind enemy lines, prisoners of war, strangers in a strange land, now forced to live amongst the conquerors, the people of the covenant, had to make a choice. Would they isolate themselves in certain hope of a quick return to the homeland of Israel, or would they settle for the long haul in Babylon and embrace a new home in a foreign land? All right, so that's the movie trailer version of what's going on. I should have started with, in a world where they found themselves. So this is what was going on here. The prophets of the Lord God were split on what was happening after the exile, after Babylonians had come in and wiped everything out and taken some of the more powerful Israelites to Babylon to live. Many prophets, hoping to raise the exile spirits, were proclaiming that this dislocation was only going to last a couple years, and that God would break the spirit of the Babylonian Empire soon and very soon, and they would all get to go home in just a couple years. Until then, hang on like that cat on the cat poster. Hang on. Resist the Babylonians. Do not make friends with these people, for they are your enemies. They are your captors. But Jeremiah had a very different message to share. Don't listen to the good news of these false prophets, the new good news that they're trying to sell you on. The exile is here to stay. So don't get comfortable. It's going to be a while. So get comfortable. It's going to be a while. Trust that God is working to bring you out of this. But for now, build houses, plant gardens, get married, have kids. Heck, have grandkids. Put down roots and embrace this strange and foreign land as your home. God is with you. Even there. Now you could imagine the Israelites hearing this. They had just watched their whole homeland be destroyed, and now they're living in this weird land with people that have different values, different customs, different culture than their own. And you could imagine hearing them and thinking, I'm gonna have to have grandkids here? Are you kidding me? This exile wasn't supposed to last this long. Are you telling me I have to send my kids to a Babylonian preschool? You gotta be kidding me. Jeremiah wasn't done. He said, don't not only put down roots, but seek the welfare of the city where God has sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. This is a radical, radical request. The tendency for the Jewish people would have been to isolate themselves from the Babylonians as much as possible, not letting the Babylonian stink infect them. Yet the Lord God is actually telling them to be concerned about these pagan heathens. Be concerned about the city and its people. Then God tells the chosen people to seek out the welfare of their strange neighbors. Now, it's really hard to seek the welfare of your neighbor if you are completely isolated from them. To care for the city and its people means you have to go out into the community, into the land, and get to know your enemies. And not only get to know them, but to care for them. And their well-being is your well-being. And their peace is your peace. A while back, I read a book called The Big Sort. And it's talking about how in our nation we have not only politically started to isolate ourselves, we have actually started to do that geographically. And if you're looking at trends throughout our nation and where people move and how people move around and the communities that they move to, we have started to see that a lot of people end up in communities that are very homogeneous, where they are surrounded with a lot of people that vote like they do, that like the kind of restaurants that they do, and that think and have the same kind of values that they do. And one of the things that they say in this book is that this is actually a real problem, because when all we are ever isolated, we never hear a dissenting opinion, or we don't have to be a neighbor to someone who wildly disagrees with us and still actually be friends with them. So what is happening in our culture is that through this isolation, we are becoming less and less tolerant of those who disagree with us. And we are becoming less and less able to find ways to get along with people who disagree with us. And I think this is an obvious thing, right? I mean, you see this in politics, you see this everywhere. People just can't get along, and if they disagree with you, then we can't be friends. We don't even want to talk to you. This passage from Jeremiah is telling us to do the exact opposite of that. Settle in. Get to know your enemies. Love them. Care for them, because by caring for them, you're caring for the community and you're caring for yourself. Their welfare is your welfare. A while back, I read Jim Kiger's second book. I didn't know that it was his second book when I read it, by the way. I just, Jim Kiger wrote a book. I want to learn about Fayette County. I read the book, and then everyone was like, oh, did you read the first one? I go, there's a first one? And so I have it now. I got it from the book sale. Thank you, Gail, for finding that for me. And I read his book, Court Street. And in this book, it covers the stories about his law career and different things that happened throughout Fayette County. But in the introduction to the book, Jim talks about how he and his wife every Christmas Eve take a drive to the courthouse. And they go out here and they park and they just sit and they take in that quiet Christmas Eve evening here and observe the courthouse that they love dearly, this town that they love dearly. And in this book, he describes that for, you know, recently at, when they go out and they look around downtown, and he describes this sense of loss that he feels now when they go do this. Because he remembers this time when Washington Courthouse was more vibrant, more exciting. People were downtown shopping all the time, and there was stuff going on, and there was energy and love and excitement that was not that long ago. And something that he wishes would return to the town that he loves. And Jim, in many ways, as he's describing this, feels like changes that have been made around him have left him exiled in his own home. He feels like a stranger in a strange land. Now, maybe you feel like this too. Much has changed in the last 50 years around here, our home here in Fayette County. Industries have come and gone due to many factors, globalization being one of them, though some have always remained. Farming has seemed to always be around and not going anywhere anytime soon. New problems like the opiate plague have plagued our streets. They drain our community resources. Technology has changed how we do everything from communication to farming. Going to church is no longer the standard for the majority of our community. And poverty and its generational effects seem to be very clear today than they are have been ever. And when we look out into the community, we realize that our values aren't always necessarily the values of our neighbors and our fellow citizens. Things certainly have changed very rapidly. Now, we, like the Jewish exiles, have a choice: isolation or investment. We can spend all of our time lamenting the way things have changed and go into full isolation mode, choosing not to engage and hope things will work themselves out. Or we can reinvest ourselves into seeking the welfare of this city and this county. And we can do this because in our neighbor's welfare, we will find our welfare. One option is putting your head in the sand. The other is setting down roots that will lift you up and your neighbor up. And I ask you today, as much as you possibly can, choose investment. It's what God wanted for the Israelites, and it's what God wants for us. And I look around this room, I see a lot of you who have made that choice. Bruce always says to me whenever I talk to him about Fayette County, he says, Gray, there's a lot of really amazing and good people in this county. And yeah, we have problems, but I know for a fact that Bruce is right. That I have seen people who want to invest in this community, who are passionate about this place and want to seek the welfare of our neighbors, because they know that that will increase the welfare of all of us in this community. So what are some of the ways that we can start thinking about this? I'm going to go through a lot of these through this sermon series, so we're just going to start with a few of them. One way we can get started today is just by turning to your neighbor. Go ahead, turn to your neighbor. Turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, your peace is my peace. Good job. You might love your neighbor, or you might not like your neighbor. But their peace is your peace. Amen. Right? Amen. Donate your time and resources to the places that you can help your neighbor find peace. Chiquita's right here. She's telling you. She's seeking to find the peace of our neighbor. to find stability for people who have been in generational poverty, for kids to find some type of stability. Places like The Well, the Fayette County Food Pantry, which we have right here in First Presbyterian, Community Action Committee. I have Bambi coming in, is going to come talk to us about some of the amazing, incredible things that Community Action is doing. Support local businesses by spending money right here in Fayette County so that we can continue to have restaurants and shops and towns. I know I am just as guilty as any of it. It is easier to shop online. I love it when the mail person just brings that big box in. It's great. Except that if we just keep shopping online all the time for everything and we take our local businesses for granted, we're not going to have local businesses here. Reconsider what it would mean for that local business owner here in town, and thereby for you as a citizen of this community, because by supporting these businesses, they then are able to reinvest in our community. If we take them for granted, they'll disappear. Beautify your little corner of this town and this county. One of the things, when I got here, I told the trustees, I said, if we're going to have this beautiful piece of property here in a place that people who come to the post office every Saturday morning see, we need to take care of this building. We have it. We need to take care of it. And one of the things I first saw was like, oh, that stupid window. It needs to be scraped. It needs to be wet. It needs to be repainted. It was bothering me. And it bothered me for a while. Yeah, almost 2 years. We got it done. It's beautiful. We've re-landscaped. We've done lots of stuff. Think about what that would mean for your house, your place. Because I can tell you, that when you're in a beautiful place, this is one of the reasons I had talked to Wayne Taylor, told me, I said, Wayne, why did y'all decide to, when you knocked down that house next to the manse, to just leave it empty? And Wayne said, Gray, so we have a nice little green space right there, just nice green. And I can't tell you what a gift that green space has not only been for our family, because Henry calls it the green meadow, but for VBS, and Wayne's right. It's beautiful. It's just beautiful, like little park just right there next to the manse. That does something to the brain. A beautiful space that people can sit and rest and see, that affects you. It changes, it makes your brain think good things, feel good things. So beautify the spaces in this town. Take pride in it. Help your neighbor beautify their space. Maybe you got an old person next to you that there's no way they're beautifying their spaces. Help them out, right? We'll talk about more ways that we can do this throughout the series. So just take this as the finale here. So just, even though at times we may feel like exiles, the problems we face here in town feel like, make us feel like we are strangers in a strange land. Trust that God is active and present even in the worst, most broken places in our community. There are so many incredible and engaged people that I have met in this community, and I know that God has given us a vision and the ability to see the future we dream of here in Washington Courthouse and Fayette County. So it's time to double down. Don't isolate yourselves. Reinvest. Let's get to work. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.